Hey there, welcome aboard. You are just in time for another episode of the Nerdy Little Bubba Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Garrett, and we'll go ahead and get it started. As you know, here on the Nerdy Little Bubba Podcast, we discuss sports, we discuss music, and we talk about life. Now, today's episode is going to be a little different because there were a couple things that happened this week within the sports world as well as in real life that I feel like I need to just put my commentary on it, just like everybody else, because one of these things just bothers me so bad. I mean, it just bothers me so bad. So we're just going to go ahead and just jump right on into it. So I want to start off with discussing how things just, the more things change, the more things stay the same. And what I mean by that is, for example, the first thing to happen this week, early this week, was the Carolina Panthers had the opportunity to remove the interim tag from coach Steve Wilks and make him the head coach. The players loved him. The players wanted to play for him. The players are playing, they played hard for him to the point where the Panthers were on the brink of making it to the playoffs. Although they did not, unfortunately succeed, they were right there on the cusp. Mind you, the NFC South this year was awful. If you look at the records of all the teams to include the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, they were all barely scraping by to get there. So considering that, you know, the team basically was just put together with bubblegum and duct tape, as I like to say, for Steve Wilks to have turned things around so quickly after that previous disaster it spoke volumes. So you would think that him doing that would put him in the top running. Like, the job should have been his. But did the Carolina Panthers ownership or as an organization do that? Nope. They went and hired Frank Reich. And Frank Reich was the quarterback, the first quarterback for the Panthers when they were an expansion ball club. He coached in Indianapolis. Now, we all know that the Indianapolis owner is, well, he is what he is, right? So he ran him off mid-season. But then the Panthers turned around and hired this guy over Wilks, who turned the team around. So, of course, I call bullshit because Wilks is from Charlotte, right? Born, raised Charlotte. He's known throughout the community. Again, the team rallied around him and liked him. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he brought value to the table. It doesn't matter that, you know, he was making a change within that organization. It does not matter because he was still overlooked. He was still passed over. So I don't blame him for not wanting to stay. I think he's going on to another. I don't know if he has another job lined up yet or not. I know they said that the Atlanta Falcons were interested in making him either offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. One out of the two. I have to pull it up and look at it. But I don't blame him for not staying because that is a slap in the face. And trust me, I know all too well what happens when organizations, for lack of a better term, keep playing with you. But I'm not going to open that door today. I'm going to keep that door closed, right? But yeah, but that was the first thing that happened this week was the Panthers basically passed over on another coach, on a decent coach, on a good coach. And yes, they passed over on a black coach. So this is systemic throughout the NFL. Or if they do hire a black coach like the Houston Texans, they give you shit to work with. Literally. Like, you know, what happened to Lovie Smith was some bullshit. I really hope that Lovie had contingencies built to his contract for what the Texans did to him, because they didn't give him a team to really work with, and he won, you know, he did his best he could to win some games, and then they fired him because he won a game, but yet it cost him the number one pick, which I'm pretty sure they would have squandered anyway. So it just speaks to, you know, just systemic issues within the NFL itself, in that you know, it's fine to have black players. It's fine to have black position coaches, but not offensive coordinators. And, you know, then it's like, well, okay, we don't really know if we want a lot of blacks in the head coaching ranks. I read a story about this a few weeks ago in the Washington Post, and it was a guy, I can't think of his name now. He basically was with the San Diego Chargers. I think that was his last team. And he basically would never get an offensive coordinator job. Because if you look at the NFL, offensive coordinators are the ones that move on to head coaching positions. Now, you could be a shit offensive coordinator, or you could be a great offensive coordinator, but you could be a shit head coach. There are a few that come to mind who were deemed offensive gurus, and then they got into the head coaching ranks and they proved otherwise. So he was saying that he was able to get position jobs. He could even be a defensive coordinator, but he would never ever get an offensive coordinator job, even though he was a quarterback's coach. And we all know, like I said, you become an offensive coordinator, your next step in the progression is to become a head coach. But it also has deeper implications, because as you become move up the coaching ranks, you move up in pay, you move up in salary. You can literally change the trajectory of your family's economic status based upon that. But because black coaches are not given those opportunities, then, well, they're not able to reap the harvest or reap the benefits. And, you know, and then when you do become a black coach, you have a shorter leash. You have a short leash. And it's either if you don't bring a Super Bowl in the first two seasons, you're out. The only team that has demonstrated that they actually give a damn about coaches and or, well, coaches period, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because if you look at their history, they haven't had a lot of head coaches. They don't recycle through coaches. Tomlin has been there for a long time, and I applaud the brother for being there and doing what he can. He's never had a losing season. And the family sticks beside him, because they know if you're going to win, you have to have consistency. You can't just keep recycling through coaches. But the fact that they even took a chance and hired him, and, you know, and he's brought success and they stayed with him, shows that it can work. That it's okay to hire black head coaches. Give us a chance. It will work out, you know, even with its even in due time. But then it also goes back to I remember when Tony Dungy was a head head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He built that team from the ground up. What did they do? They ran him off in favor of John Gruden, and John Gruden won the Super Bowl with his players. Fast forward to 2005, I think it was 2005, 2006. You know, it was the Colts versus the Bears. Two black head coaches in the Super Bowl, Lovie Smith, Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy was the one that came out on top with the Colts behind Peyton Manning, who I believe was probably doing his own thing and not listening to the coach, but that's just me. But still, Lovie, on the other side of the ball, Lovie got them there. What did the Bears do? They ran them off. And so that's what I'm saying. It just makes absolutely no sense that we have proven we can get to that level, and yet we still don't get those opportunities. One of the worst ones I saw, or we all witnessed, was the Detroit Lions. The Lions had Jim Caldwell as their head coach. Caldwell took them to the playoffs multiple times, okay? They may not have gotten past the first round, but he still got them there. But did the Lions stick beside him? Nope. Ran him off. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, something is going to have to give, because you cannot convince me that in a league that is 75%, where 75% of the players are black, you can't convince me you can't come up with, you know, 10% of coaches, which would probably be seven black head coaches, right? You can't convince me that's not possible when we know that it is highly possible. But it's not just in the NFL, because even in the SEC, if you look at football, if you look at the SEC, and I'm using the SEC as an example because I am a proud graduate of a Southeastern Conference school, there are no black head coaches in the Southeastern Conference as far as football is concerned. None. The last one was the guy that was at Vanderbilt, and they ran him off, But Vanderbilt, well, I mean, it's Vanderbilt. So, anyway, yeah, that was like, he was like the last one. Derek Mason, that's his name. Derek Mason was the last black head coach in the SEC. And that's been over 3-4 years ago when he was still coaching at Vanderbilt. So there's it's a systemic problem. You know, I don't know what it's going to take to solve it. It's not going to be an overnight thing, but somebody has to step up to the plate and say, you know what, let's give these people, I hate to use that term, let me spin that back. Let's give black head coaches a chance, because I'm sure if you do, we can prove that, you know, we win. And this, and that rolls me into the second issue. And this is on the light segment that really bothered me this week. So all week long, the news outlets, all of them, whether it be a local and or national news, has been talking about the video of 5 Memphis police officers beating the hell out of a young man by the name of Tyre Nichols. And, you know, at first I wasn't really paying attention because I wasn't watching the news like that. But yesterday, you know, I just so happened to look at it, and it was like, oh, you know, Memphis police are going to release the video tonight. We don't know what time, but it'll be sometime tonight. And it was all over every news channel. Well, I mean, the ones I actually somewhat look at, because there's certain ones I just refuse. But, you know, they were just, it's like they were hyping it up, which is sickening within itself. And then I realized the reason why that they were hyping this up, because it involved 5 black officers beating a young black man, but not just beating him. They literally, I mean, they went beyond what happened to Rodney King. They beat that young man. They didn't just beat him. I don't want to use the term murder him, because that's, you know, is essentially the byproduct of that. But they beat him down. But I didn't like the fact that they were hyping it up like it was a world premiere television movie. And last night, as I was driving to get some food, I just so happened to listen to CNN because I wanted to see what they had to say, which was a mistake on my part, because even though I didn't physically see the video, you know, I heard the video, and it was just, it was sickening. I'm not sure. The bottom line is this. If a traffic stop should not result in somebody's death, a traffic stop should not result in somebody's death. And not only that, the worst part about it is it was 5 black police officers who not only did this, but then afterwards reveled in it. Like, they were standing around talking about what happened like it was a fucking badge of honor. And then one of them has the nerve to be a member of a Divine Nine organization. I'm not going to say which one, but yes, they had the nerve to be a member of a Divine Nine organization where we fight collectively against shit like this. And he participated, you know, but I'm not really that surprised, because what a lot of people need to understand is that just because, well, first of all, skin folk ain't always kinfolk. And secondly, certain police officers, let me caveat this, because I do know black police officers who do their jobs. They go home. They don't live for this. They don't participate in this. You know, they do what they do things by the book, right? But there are some who do not do things by the book, as we've seen. And the reason why is because they want to show off. You know, they want to show off for their superiors. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And so they have to. And so when it comes down to dealing with interacting with other, or should I say with African-American, or I hate that term, African-American. Let me spin that back. When they deal with black citizens, they feel like they have to be 10 times more harsher to satisfy their superiors. And I'm also noticing that, and also there's a few other things that we have to recognize, which is one, when incidents like this have happened before and it's involved officers of a different race, the names were withheld for days or weeks. You didn't see their pictures for days or weeks. There was no immediate arrest for days or weeks, if it ever happened. There was no grand jury process for days, weeks, or months, if it ever happened. In this case, we already know the officers' names. We've already seen their pictures. They've already been jailed, bailed out, and already going to trial. So this tells me that as much as they want to believe that the blue wall of silence will protect them, no, it won't. I have not heard a peep from people who so-called support Blue Lives Matter or Back to Blue about this. Not one damn word. I'm talking, it's so quiet, you could hear a rat pissing on cotton. That's how quiet it is. They hadn't said anything. So I hope that black officers wake up and realize that, yeah, your uniform that you wear every day might be blue, but your skin's still black. And they will show you where you fall should something like what happened to Tyre Nichols happens. You'll be ass out. You on your own. You know, I haven't even seen anything, and I could be wrong, but I can't say I see anything from the police union out in Memphis. Like, they may have made a statement. I'm not sure, because I hadn't really looked into it. But, yeah. And then I personally do not want to see the video. The little bit of audio I heard last night was enough, but I don't want to see the video because that's too traumatic. It's too much. And just the way they hyped it up, I didn't too much care for it. Bottom line is I really feel for the family of Tyre Nichols. I really do, because once again, it's another name that's added to the rolls of young black men who are no longer with us because of the actions of people who are supposed to protect and serve, because that's the motto of most police departments. So I don't know what it's going to take. I hope the family is able to find some kind of solace in this. Maybe this will finally break about change, but who knows? Maybe the black police officers who actually do their jobs, who actually, you know, want to do the right thing, will stand up and tell the others, get the fuck out if you're not going to do the right thing. But all that remains to be seen. But yes, that's just, you know, it's just another part of the world that some people have to deal with. And I'm hoping that it opens the eyes of other people who think that this is just, oh, it's just a fluke. Oh, you know, well, it was black on black actions. No, you're right. I mean, yeah, sure, it was black officers beating up on a young black man. But look at the background and reason as to why these officers thought these were the actions to take. And then you'll better understand why we can no longer go with that quote unquote, well, there shouldn't be any outrage because of this, or, you know, everything's moving swiftly. Why is everybody upset? We have a right to be upset because of the things that we've had to deal with. So that's just my commentary on those two items. I really hope that one day this world will change, but it's looking kind of bleak. So that's all I have for you today here on the Nerdy Little Bubble Podcast. If you like what you hear, please listen, like, share, subscribe. Let the world know that we are here. Leave some feedback. Leave some commentary. Give me show ideas. Because we have a lot that can be discussed and a lot that should be discussed. So I'm going to leave you like my man Rob Dahl always says on his podcast, which is The Mindset Mentor. I'm leave you like I always leave you here on a Nerdy Little Bubble Podcast, which is I wish you nothing but peace and one love. Take care.